And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 in your favorite podcast app. Just search for the Nick Craig Show. Hit the subscribe or follow button, and you'll get a new program delivered each and every weekday morning. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com and, of course, all of the other platforms that the show is available on. Want to thank the Law Group for sponsoring our program this morning. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have some more details on them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Also looking for some of your comments and feedback at 910-377-6425. That's where you can text and get your comments on the air this morning. Just include, if you're a first-time texter, your name and where you're texting from so we can get that listed in our system. It's been 100 days since President Donald Trump took office in his second term as the 47th president of the United States. And it's been a very fast and very quick 100 days, to the chagrin of the media, to the chagrin of left-wing Democrats and individuals that want to obstruct and stand in the way of everything that the president is trying to accomplish. It's been a really rough time for them. I mean, for Democrats that were hoping and I guess praying that things would not go very well and things would not happen in a successful manner for the president. Well, they're wrong. And it's been an incredibly fast 100 days. Trump has signed dozens of executive orders since being in the Oval Office. He's already signed multiple laws into legislation. Some of the big ones include things like the Lake and Riley Act. And he celebrated that last night with his first campaign-style rally since the election and since he was successful in not only winning in November, but then, of course, being inaugurated January the 20th of this year. And this is how the president opened some of his comments to a raucous crowd in Michigan last night as one of the seven swing states that carried the president over the finish line in his election victory, where, once again, I'll note for all of you Democrats listening, seven of seven swing states and winning the popular vote. This is just a couple minutes into the president's comments last night.
What the world has witnessed in the past 14 weeks is a revolution of common sense. That's all it is, really. We're conservative. You're conservative, you're liberal, whatever the hell. You know what it's all about? It's about common sense when you think about it. We're for common sense. We like strong borders. We like good education. We like low interest rates. We like being able to buy a beautiful car. And now deduct the interest on the loan. That's never happened before. We want a strong military. We want low taxes. You know, the Democrats, they campaign on, we will raise your taxes. It's the first time. You know, I haven't been doing this that long, actually, compared to a lot of people. They've been doing it for a long time. They say, you became president. I can't get out of Congress. Or some of them can't even get into Congress. But, you know, I haven't been doing it that long, but all my life I've been watching, and I've never heard people campaigning that they're going to raise taxes. It's always been, we will reduce your taxes, Democrat, Republican. Now they go, we're going to raise your taxes. If our bill doesn't pass, the Republicans, we have 100% just about Republican support, but it would be nice if we had just a couple of Democrats just to make sure, because, you know, every once in a while you have a grandstander Republican. We have some grandstanders, but every once in a while, not many, but remember who those grandstanders were and vote them the hell out of office, okay? Will you do that? Vote them out of office. You know, they do it morally, they're morally bound. You know what the answer is? If you don't get it, you're going to have the highest tax increase in history instead of the greatest tax cut in history. If the Democrats prevail on this bill, you get a 58% tax increase. Would you like that? These are the Democrats. But I've never seen all the years they campaign, we will raise your taxes. I say, this country has gone crazy.
The president, a little jovial as always in his comments. He spoke for about 90 minutes opening up and talking about, you know, that the Republicans are currently working on what he has deemed his big, beautiful bill working its way through Washington, D.C. I did find it interesting, and the reason I pulled that clip and played it in its entirety was him specifically calling out some of the grandstanding Republicans. And he called them flat out on it. and even kind of mock them a little bit. Oh, moral this, moral that. I mean, there's a huge difference between standing on your morals, standing on what is right, and then just acting like a complete and utter moron. And there is a difference there. And of course, some of these grandstanding Republicans that you see in Washington, D.C., they, of course, justify it by saying, well, I'm not going to do this because I don't morally agree with this, or I don't morally agree with that. That's totally fine. Right? When you become an elected individual in Congress, right, you're not morally obligated to support any president or any policy. That's not the point. I don't think that these individuals need to be browbeaten into supporting the president. But it is important to note that if you are a registered Republican and you ran for office as a Republican and won your election as a Republican, this is the key, won as a Republican and are now sworn into office as a Republican, as a member of Congress, I believe that your voters want you to stand with not only the Republican president, but your Republican colleagues, whether you're a House or Senate member, with those colleagues in the House or the Senate. I think that's a fair thing to assume that your voters are in favor of. I think it's a fair thing to assume, these people are definitely, in favor of what's going on, because Republicans have complete and total control of what's going on in Washington, D.C. And they're not never Trump Republicans. They're just grandstanders. Like Josh Hawley, just voting against everything. For what reason? No idea. I mean, I've seen him on interviews and throughout news. He doesn't really seemingly have a good reason. He just is voting against it so he can be the one guy. Well, one of the big reasons I was not a fan at all of Matt Gaetz. Fortunately, he's no longer in Congress. That's all he did. A constant grandstander, constantly working against Republicans. Here's something that's, I think, hard for a lot of people to grasp and wrap their head around. And I think it comes from a little bit of a place of ignorance. Politics is not easy. It is not easy to get hundreds of people on the same page for an issue. Whether that's something locally, whether it's something at the statewide level in the General Assembly or up in Congress, it's very hard to get 150 people who all have a little bit different thoughts on an issue or different thoughts on this, different thoughts on that. It's hard to get all of those people together. And the fact of the matter is, you are, as a Congress member, you're not elected king. You're not elected superior law person in Washington, D.C. You're one of many. And that means you're not always going to get everything that you want. Every piece of legislation is not going to be drafted to exactly your specifications. But the question is a very simple one. Is this legislation, does it get me, let's just use the number, 80%? 80-20 is always a good number. Does this get me 80% of what I want? Does this get me 80% things that I am in favor of? If the answer is yes, then you should support the legislation. I mean, it's the same argument that people make, and you're going to see a lot of this discussion unfolding over the next year or so, over somebody like Senator Tom Tillis. Senator Tillis, I've got a lot of problems with Senator Tillis. No argument about that at all. Some of the things that he has said and done over the last couple of months have been very frustrating. He is likely going to run against Roy Cooper, the former Democrat governor of North Carolina. And there will be plenty of Republicans that in November of next year will not vote for Roy Cooper, or will not vote for Tom Tillis. They will say, no, I'm not going to vote for Tillis. He's a rhino. And so then you are saying, and you are projecting, that you are not in favor of a Republican majority or Republican control. You would rather have a Democrat, which you get 0% of what you want, than a Republican where you might get 80% of what you want. Politics is not a sport of perfection. Politics is not something where you get 100% of what you want 100% of the time. It's just not. And anybody that believes that it is, I truly don't believe has spent enough time actually working in and around politics to understand that. It's not a zero-sum game. But I can promise you this, that this one thing I am certain of. If you are voting with Democrats, you are getting 0% of what you want. Versus if you're voting for Republicans, where you might be getting 70, 80, 90% of what you want. Aqua Blue is pointing out in our Rumble chat this morning, Josh Hawley has a B Liberty score and Rand Paul has an A. Rand is voting no on the bill. I get it. These guys, I'm not saying they're bad lawmakers. I don't think Josh Hawley and Rand, well, Josh Hawley, a little bit of a different story. He's been seemingly against everything that Trump has brought up this entire second term. Rand Paul is a phenomenal representative. And I've heard his concerns. But I don't, you know, he doesn't have the authority to make the decision himself. He's been unsuccessful in lobbying his colleagues to get the changes that he wants. Right? That's what you have to do. It's a negotiation. If you want something to change in politics and you're an elected official, you have to convince your fellow colleagues to agree with whatever your thought or whatever your plan is. That's how the process works. If you're unsuccessful in doing so, you can take your ball and go home and vote no, or you can suck it up and vote for the legislation. Those are your two options. And I'm just not a fan of when you've got Republicans in the White House and the House and the Senate, individuals who, yes, do have good liberty scores, not voting for Republican legislation, not voting for legislation that the President of the United States says he wants passed. I get it. I understand it's not perfect. I understand it doesn't give you everything that you want. But is it better than getting zero? Is it better than getting nothing? And I believe that answer is yes. And this comes from experience of working in and around politics. It's not always you get what you want. That's just not how it works. That's not life, and that sure as hell isn't politics. So I'm glad Trump, you know, kind of tightened the screws a little bit on some of the Republicans in Congress that for whatever reason, unless they get 100% of what they want, they will decide to vote against what the president is in favor of. We'll now turn the discussion over to impeachment. This obviously was the main topic on yesterday's show. President Donald Trump had some thoughts on that as well in Michigan last night.
Some guy that I'd never heard of, John James, is he a congressman, this guy? He said, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to start the impeachment of Donald Trump. What the hell did I do? Here we go again. They want to impeach me. This lunatic, he was up. Actually, I had the television way down, and I said to our great First Lady, listen, did I just hear I was being impeached again? We're getting good at this, though. No, they've gone totally crazy. These people, and you know what? They've totally lost their confidence, too. They can't even tell a lunatic like this dumb guy that said it. And then you have the other one that's always with the cane. He's always impeaching. He raises his cane. He always impeaches. But they have no control over those people. They have no control. And the reason is they've lost their confidence. They have no confidence anymore as a party. They have no candidates. And, you know, when they say that Bernie's probably the best they have. By the way, he's about 7 years older than me, more, 8 years older. One thing I got to give him credit, he's a lunatic, but he's still pretty sharp. And he's going around with AOC plus three, you know, the plus three follow him. They hang on for little bits. They hang on for nuggets.
I think the president's synopsis there is very much of what I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. He mentions that the Democrat Party does not have any confidence currently. And I think, I don't even know if I would describe it as confidence. I've been describing it as a lack of direction. It's a party that is completely scattered right now as to what their messaging is. What are our big ticket issues that we want to support? Or what are our big ticket issues that we are against as a Democrat Party? They seem to be incredibly scattered on that. And I, you know, to President Trump's credit, he mentions Bernie Sanders. He's probably right. I mean, Bernie Sanders and AOC, the barista, the Starbucks barista from Queens, New York, have been going all around the country hosting these rallies. I guess presumably they're setting up some tag team duo to run in 2028. Bernie will be 90 years old by the time that comes around. And AOC is not a very good lawmaker. She's an obstructionist. She's somebody that is constantly outraged and yelling and screaming about what's going on. She's not a lawmaker. She doesn't have any significant pieces of legislation that she can notch in her belt and say, you know, these are the things that I've accomplished. It's a party that is lacking direction. I mentioned this yesterday morning, but I'll bring it up again. I mean, you look at the Democrat Party when Barack Obama came to the forefront, right? The single-term senator. He was able to win that party's nomination. He was able to coalesce Democrats and their ideology behind him and did a phenomenal job at expressing Democrat ideas, expressing Democrat policies, even though many folks, myself included, most of you, disagreed with those things. He was a very good messenger for the issue. He had a lot of charisma. He was a great politician, a phenomenal politician. Doesn't mean I agree with him, but from a political, pure political standpoint, phenomenal politician. Bernie Sanders doesn't have that. He yells like a raging old man. I mean, that's just what he sounds like. AOC is just a bitter woman who is always angry, is always yelling and screaming and complaining about this, that, or the other. I mean, these people don't have charisma. Gavin Newsom's the best that they've got, but as I mentioned yesterday, his track record is atrocious. The policies in his home state of California have driven that state into a complete and total freefall with mass exodus of population, sky-high prices, a huge amount of illegal immigration into his state, and it's a disaster. So who is the leader of this party? The answer right now is nobody. Joe Biden is gone. He has made one public appearance since leaving the White House. That was, what, last week? Played some clips from that. He's not leading behind the scenes. He is not pushing the Democrat Party in any significant direction. I don't think Hakeem Jeffries is slated up for it. I don't think Chuck Schumer is slated up for it. The party's lost. It's a rudderless ship that is currently operating right now, and that's been very successful for President Trump. Because the Democrats are so scattered, they have really struggled trying to nail down Trump on really any one particular issue. And I think that's been a large part of his success over the last 14 weeks, last 100 days, has been that the Democrats are not on their A game. They are a party that is scattered. I would argue a party that is going through a little bit of its own internal civil war. A party that is trying to figure out what its identity is going to be. Is it going to come back more to the middle and try and win over more regular, non-super political individuals that find themselves teetering between Democrat and Republican issues? Or are they going to allow the progressive wing, the Rashida Tlaibs, the Ilhan Omars, the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, are they going to allow those individuals and their ideologies to take over the party? I don't believe we have an answer to that yet. I'm not sure what that is going to look like and who will end up being the victor as it relates to Democrat ideals and ideologies. That is the jury is still out on that. Who knows what's going to happen? And that's been very successful and very helpful for Trump and the Republicans over the last 100 days. Turning our attention to immigration, obviously this has been a big issue for the president. He ran his entire presidential campaign on it, and to the chagrin of many on the left, it's something that he has absolutely promises made, promises kept as it relates to immigration. Here's the president last night.
And the media told us that stopping the flood of illegal immigration was absolutely impossible. He said it was impossible. He didn't know what the hell anybody was talking about. He said it was impossible that the president had no power to stop what was needed in the form of legislation. He needed legislation. He had no power to get it. But it turned out that all we needed was a new president.
Now, I'm going to stop the president there. He's, of course, bringing up the fact that Democrats under Joe Biden watched, waited, and sat on the sideline while the problem of illegal immigration ran out of control, ran rampant here in the United States. And the excuse, as President Trump said, was always the same, that Joe Biden did not have the authority to deal with illegal immigration. Now, of course, you and I know that's complete and total BS. You and I know that there is no truth to that in any way, shape, or form. But that was the narrative that Joe Biden ran with. It was an attempt by him to admonish any sort of responsibility by claiming, well, it's not my fault. Blame those bastard Republicans in Congress who won't give me the power to deal with immigration. Now, that's obviously not been, that obviously was not true. Trump is now in office. No significant legislation has passed as it relates to specifically dealing with immigration itself. Now, you could look at things like the Lake and Riley Act, but that doesn't specifically deal with, you know, people coming to the United States of America. The president has had the authority to do that. Joe Biden had the authority the entire time. But due to him saying that and the media, who now all of a sudden cares about immigration, right? I think this is an important thing to mention. And I, by the way, coming up in a little bit, I've got some comments. Trump did an exclusive interview with ABC News last night as well. It was pre-taped. I don't know when it was recorded. It also ran on his 100-day in office. The media has never cared about immigration. The media sat on their hands and closed their eyes while illegal immigration ran out of control under the previous administration. They ignored the problem. They tried covering for Joe Biden and the Democrats. And now that Trump is in office and is doing exactly what he said he was going to do, deport individuals who are legally in the country, now all of a sudden the media has so much vested interest in immigration. They have so much vested interest in deportations and illegal immigration in the United States. They're complete and total hypocrites. They did not give a damn about this issue for the last 4 years. They ignored it up and down and all over the place. They could not care less about immigration. But now that Trump's in there, that's all they care about now. Immigration, 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 immigration. This is the dishonest nature of the mainstream media. This is why there is such a lack of trust and confidence as it relates to the media. The president will have some comments on that coming up. More on immigration last night from the president.
Within days of taking office, I signed the Lake and Riley Act. Lake and Riley, beautiful Lake and Riley, who was killed by an illegal immigrant, viciously, violently killed. But I signed the Lake and Riley Act to facilitate the expulsion of dangerous criminal aliens, and when necessary, we had to put them in jail. We couldn't take a chance that they'd come back in again. In recent weeks, ICE, who are great, these people are great, has arrested dozens of child rapists, along with murderers, kidnappers, drug traffickers, and thieves, and frankly, people from mental institutions. We've designated 6 murderous Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorist organization. We have also designated 2 bloodthirsty transnational gangs, MS-13 and Tren de Aragua, TDA. They've been designated the highest level of terrorist, and that lets us do a lot of things that you wouldn't be able to do. We got to get them out of here before they kill more people. They've killed plenty. My administration has increased arrests of known and suspected terrorists by 655%. Is that okay? We tried to get it higher. We tried to get it higher, but the courts are giving us a hard time. Can you believe? You know, I won on the basis of, I think the number one thing was on illegal immigration, the border, the people pouring across our border that are from all over the world. They're unbelievably bad. In many cases, unbelievably bad people. I think that was the number one thing. And now the courts are trying to say that, you know, that doesn't matter. I don't think it's going to be allowed to stand. Democrats have vowed mass invasion and mass migration. We are delivering mass deportation, and it's happening very fast.
The president is 100% spot on. When he says, a large part of his presidential campaign, and you've heard me mention this, a large part of his presidential campaign was immigration. many polls showed it either the top issue or tied for the top issue. When Americans went out in November of last year and were deciding who they wanted to cast a ballot for, either cackling Kamala Harris or former President Donald Trump, they chose Trump, and a large reason for that was, in fact, immigration. And the fact that anybody is so shocked or surprised as to what's going on right now just goes to show you the outrage culture of politics. What are you going to claim, that you didn't think this was going to happen? That you didn't know that Trump was going to unfold deportations the way in which he told you for almost a year he was going to do? This isn't something that popped up in the 11th hour of the presidential campaign. Throughout the entirety of 2024, Donald Trump, as a candidate, talked about illegal immigration. Every single rally, of which he did over 900 of them in the last presidential election, and over 900 rallies that he did, he always talked about immigration. There was always a discussion about said issue. And now Democrats are scratching their head and trying to figure out, oh, why is this discussion on immigration happening? Why is all this immigration stuff happening? I mean, were you guys just asleep at the wheel during the presidential campaign? I mean, I know you hate Trump. I know you despise everything that he does. I know you can't fathom that people voted for him. You can't fathom that people like him. But you sure as hell can't possibly claim that it didn't happen. You can't possibly say to yourself, this is fake. This isn't real. I mean, he talked about it for literally a year. And now he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do, which, of course, doesn't lend up to the liberal and left narrative that Trump is a liar, that anything out of Trump's mouth is just false. He's a serial liar. Everything he says is fake. So pick a lane. When he said it, he didn't mean it. If that's what you guys think, then he would be a liar. But he said it, and now he's doing it. So is he a liar or is he not? The president had some more comments on immigration, specifically as it deals with the courts as well.
They're claiming that we're not allowed to deport illegals, and they're the ones who orchestrated an 8-year campaign to jail their political opponents. Do you know what I mean? They want to jail. They want to jail. That's all they can do, jail their political opponents. What they did to people is a disgrace. And now they come after us. Why are you not nice to them? Why are you not nice to them? They tried to jail your president. They tried to jail. Except for the really courageousness of a few very good judges, you know, we could have been calling you from the other side of the bar saying, hey, fellas, how about a little protest? How about a little protest? But they cheered the assassination of CEOs, looted our cities, and destroyed our property. No, they tried to jail our politicians, and they tried to jail a lot of people, many of whom didn't even know what the hell they were being looked at for. These people are criminals. If they had their way, we would be living in a third world hellhole. That's what they want. Removing the invaders is not just a campaign pledge. It's my solemn duty as commander in chief. I have an obligation to do it. Save our country.
The president claims that he's got an obligation to do it. And again, to the chagrin of the left, he's in fact doing it. I mean, you can't claim that he didn't talk about this for a year plus, and then he's doing it now, and you're so shocked and surprised by it, they just don't like the result. But it's funny, because we just covered a poll on Monday, the CBS YouGov poll, that showed that 56% of Americans are in fact in favor of these deportations. 56% of Americans say that we need to do this. What we're watching unfold right now needs to happen. And it's because the Democrats were asleep at the wheel as it relates to this issue. I truly believe they were hoping that if they could convince the media it wasn't a problem, that nobody would know about it. But with the invention of social media, with the ability for people to go on Facebook and at the time, you know, Twitter, then now X, and YouTube and Instagram and all of these different platforms, and see what was actually going on in cities, in states across the U.S. I mean, when you've got members of a gang taking over apartment complexes in the Midwest, charging rent to individuals who live there as a foreign international crime gang takes over American property. People see that online and start scratching their head and wondering, well, what's going on here? What kind of nonsense is this? That's exactly what went on. President Trump spoke against this. President Trump spoke on the importance of dealing with illegal immigration, ran an entire presidential campaign on it, and was very successful. 7 of 7 swing states winning the popular vote. You can't claim you didn't think this was going to happen. We've got more from Trump's 100-day address last night as he spoke to a packed crowd in Michigan. We'll have some of those details, some more audio from that, including his discussion on fake polls. That was a pretty interesting thing. He also talked about electric vehicles, car manufacturing, as well as tariffs as well. All of that coming up here for you in just a few minutes. I want to remind you, tonight is the night where you can get access to our monthly hangout. It's going to be happening over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you are a supporter of the show on Patreon, check your email or log into your Patreon account. You'll see a Zoom hangout link. That happening tonight at 7 o'clock. If you are interested in joining us, you still have up until 7 o'clock to do so. Head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. $5-$10 a month. You can support the program financially, get access to daily show notes, as well as that monthly hangout. All of that available over on our website, patreon.com/Nick Craig. I want to tell you about The Law Group this morning and thank them for their continued support of The Nick Craig Show. When legal challenges arise, trust The Law Group in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. For a litany of issues, whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures that your questions are answered and that your issues are resolved promptly. Located in downtown Wilmington, they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication that you can rely on. Appreciate The Law Group and their support of The Nick Craig Show. More from President Donald Trump's rally in Michigan coming up here in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show. Good Wednesday morning to you. Looking for your comments, you can text in this morning at 910-377-6425 as we recap what has been a very busy 100 days for the Trump administration. And with that, of course, the big-time media coverage over the last couple of days has been Trump's poll numbers. In his first 100 days, he has the lowest approval numbers ever. The lowest approval numbers of any president. Right, because the left doesn't have any issues that they can discuss. The left does not have any policies that are popular. So we'll go to the polls. Right, the same polls that said Trump wasn't going to win. The same polls that said Vice President Kamala Harris would be the next president of the United States. Let's go back to those polls and ask those same individuals what they think about Trump's 100 days. The president had some comments on that last night in Michigan.
The fake polls, you know, they do these polls where they interview far more Democrats than Republicans. I saw them over the last few days, and I had them checked out. They interview far more Democrats for the polls. They interview Democrats by big numbers and then Republicans by small. They say, Trump only has a 44% approval rating. Well, it's actually not bad. But when you figure that if it were a legit poll, it would be in the 60s or 70s. These people are a bunch of crooked people. No, they interview more Democrats than Republicans. In other words, they take the poll and they interview Democrats. They poll Democrats. And then they say, they try and depress it as much, just like they write bad stories. 97% of the stories written about me, think of it, were negative, and yet we won in a landslide because they have no credibility.
talking about the lack of credibility with the media, you know, I caught this interesting article over at the Media Research Center that ran yesterday. This is a pretty crazy headline. MRC does phenomenal work. Listen to this. I'll pull this up for our video viewers. Just 100 days into President Trump's second term, the broadcast evening news landscape is even more lopsided than it was 8 years ago, when Trump was besieged with relentless, hostile coverage. So far this year, the new Trump administration has faced 92% negative coverage from ABC, CBS, and NBC, whose flagship news programs averaged more than 19.3 million viewers during the first quarter of 2025, making them the most widely watched news programs in the country. 92% negative coverage. 92%. And so when you look at those polls that he talks about, by the way, there's no way his approval is anywhere near the 70s. That's unheard of for a president. But when you look at why polls would show, for example, the presidential approval rating in the 40s, but this seems to be the answer right here. When you have 92% of people, or 92% of the coverage, that is overwhelmingly negative on the president and everything that he's doing, then it makes total sense that people would disagree with the coverage. People would disagree, and I put that in air quotes, disagree with what the president's doing, because all they're getting is a bunch of negative crap. For this report, the Media Research Center analysts looked at 899 stories on the big three networks. Again, ABC, CBS, and NBC. They looked at the 899 stories, an evening newscast that discussed President Trump or the Trump administration from January 20th through April 9th. And here were the key findings. The network's highly negative coverage of President Trump stands in stark contrast to the mostly 59% positive coverage that these networks provided to Joe Biden for 4 years. So 92% negative coverage on Trump, but a 59% amount of positive coverage for the previous guy. While TV coverage of Trump's last term was heavily focused on an array of personal controversies, this year's coverage has mostly been about serious policy issues. Tariffs, 361 minutes, Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, 310 minutes, and immigration, 233 minutes. The network's spin on Trump's tariffs faced 93% negative coverage, where Doge cutbacks to government were greeted by a 97% negative spin. Even on immigration, the issue where the public gives President Trump his highest ratings, the network spin was 93% negative. Out of nearly 4 hours, which is 233 minutes of evening news airtime devoted to immigration, these newscasts spent just 3.5 minutes letting viewers know how much Trump has reduced border crossings. 4 hours of coverage on immigration, only 3.5 minutes combined, was about Trump's reduction in border crossings, which is down something like 90%+. So when you look at the presidential approval polls, when you look at what some of this coverage is and what the numbers look like, this makes perfect sense to me. I'm surprised it's not lower. It's in the mid-40s, high to mid-40s, depending on the poll you look at. I'm surprised it's not in the 20s. With this kind of onslaught of negative media attention and media coverage, there's no surprise that people hate Donald Trump. There's no surprise people disapprove of what he's doing. The coverage is overwhelmingly lopsidedly negative. By, again, 92% negative coverage. And then the media asks themselves, why is it that people don't trust us? Why is it that Americans are turning off their television sets, turning off their streaming platforms, and not watching news programs from ABC, NBC, and CBS? It's because they're partisan hacks. It's because they are unwilling to disconnect themselves from their own personal bias and just report the news. This isn't my opinion on what's going on with mainstream media. This is what the facts are based off of this analysis, which shows a 92% negative coverage since January 20th of President Donald Trump. I mean, not my thought, not my opinion. This is analysis from MRC, the Media Research Center, which dives into the coverage, looks at what is said, reads the transcripts, and supports it. Backs it up with data. They do. A tale of two presidents. MRC analysts tallied 1,841 evaluative statements about President Trump and his administration, of which 1,698, which equates to 92.2%, were negative, with just a mere 7.8%, or 143 evaluative statements, being positive. Their methodology excludes partisan sources and focuses on statements from reporters, anchors, and nonpartisan sources. You don't have to believe me. I'll put the MRC link in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. They provide all of the evidence, all of the examples of how they came up with this staggering 92% number. But, you know, the media wants to question why people don't trust them. Why, according to Gallup, is media trust at an all-time record low? Can't imagine why, guys. Maybe you should just try covering the president a little bit more fairly. Like 80% negative, 70% negative. Even that would be overwhelmingly negative coverage. But it wouldn't be so in your face like the 92% that it is right now. Back to Trump's comments last night. He had some more comments about the court system and some of the issues that his administration has been dealing with.
And also, we cannot allow a handful of communist radical left judges to obstruct the enforcement of our laws and assume the duties that belong solely to the President of the United States. Judges are trying to take away the power given to the president to keep our country safe, and it's not a good thing. But I hope, for the sake of our country, that the Supreme Court is going to save this, because we have to do something. These people are just looking to destroy our country. Nothing will stop me in the mission to keep America safe again. It's very simple. Keep America safe again.
You know, the president has been critical of the Supreme Court, rightfully so, for not stepping in on this issue to this point. They have really failed to do so. There is a crisis that they have to deal with. Out of control, partisan hack judges in district court seats all throughout the United States that are attempting to insert themselves into the executive branch, are attempting to insert themselves into the responsibilities of the executive branch. They obviously do not have the authority to do so. You and I know that. They, I believe, truly and deep down, they know that they don't have the authority to do that, yet they're doing it anyway. And because the Supreme Court has not really stepped in and slapped their hand and said, you guys are out of control, you guys are acting in an incredibly inappropriate manner, inserting yourself and using what can be described at best as judicial overreach to step into things of which you have zero authority in at all. He's asking the Supreme Court to step in. That has yet to happen, and it's going to be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks, months, and potentially years, what happens with this big battle that's going on between these courts that are attempting to tell the president that he is not allowed to do things that are absolutely in his authority as the chief executive. You don't have to like the chief executive, but you do have to agree with the fact that these are powers that he has. Whether these are powers that were given to him by Congress, whether these are powers that are vested in the United States Constitution, he has the authority. You don't have to like what he does, but you do have to respect the authority. So some interesting comments there from President Trump. He then brought up and talked about the electric vehicle mandate, which he, of course, was stripped out just days into his presidency through executive order, and returning car manufacturing to the United States. This has been an interesting piece to follow over the last couple of weeks.
To keep my promise to the great state of Michigan, I terminated Joe Biden's insane electric vehicle mandate, where you were mandated to buy an electric vehicle. You were mandated within just a few years to buy an electric vehicle. How about that? And you know what? They're great, but people don't. Not everybody wants them. You got to be able to buy a hybrid, a gasoline-powered car. You can buy lots of different cars, but you can't be mandated to do anything. And I've already proudly imposed a 25% tariff on all foreign automobiles. Any foreign car, like they do, Tom. This is going to create more jobs in this state and this country. And to help these automakers bring their factories home as rapidly as possible, I've just signed an executive order to give partial tariff rebates to any company that assembles its cars right here in the U.S. In other words, if they can't make it in time because they have to do it here, otherwise they have it, I'm giving them a little bit of a break, right? They took in parts from all over the world. I don't want that. I want them to make their parts here. But I gave them a little bit of time. It's 15% and then 10% of the parts, so it's not so bad. Somebody would say, oh, well, that's a change in parts. Not. It's called a little flexibility. The guys were crying. They love it. Everything's good. But just in case we can't get everything in time, we gave them a little bit. So it's 15% of the parts, and then it's 10% of the parts. We give them a little time before we slaughter them if they don't do this. Right. They're going to make so much money. They're going to have so many jobs.
You know, I had an interesting discussion with somebody yesterday about the issue of tariffs. And Trump kind of mentioned it in his comment right there. The media, of course, is spinning everything now as Trump is caving, right? Because they have a vested interest in trying to portray the president as a weak leader. They have a vested interest in trying to portray Trump as an idiot, somebody that doesn't know what he's doing, a weak guy. Obviously, anybody that has followed his presidency from the first term, the campaign, which started in 2015, all the way through to now, knows that that's not the case. But the media wants to continue to make the American people believe, and it's obvious based on their media coverage, that Trump is a weak, useless, ineffective leader. And so now anytime Trump discusses tariffs and makes any changes to tariffs, they claim he's caving. And I had this discussion yesterday about this with somebody. And this is the point I made. You want somebody in a leadership position that is willing to analyze a situation, look at all of the various contributing factors, and if they need to adjust their approach, adjust their strategy, then that's what you want them to do. This idea that Trump making any changes to his tariff policies is caving, is being weak. I don't know where that's coming from. If you have the CEO of a company and that company has a policy and the CEO gets new information, new analytics, new stats, new data that comes to light, and the CEO of a company says, we're changing this policy to reflect some of the data that I just received, you would never say that the leader of that company is caving. You would say that's a leader that's using information at their disposal to make a smart decision. The end goal here is to not have 140% tariffs on China. The goal is to bring China to the negotiating table and get a more lucrative deal for the United States. To put pressure on China for their rampant theft of intellectual property. And I saw this comment yesterday, or this story yesterday about Amazon. They're going to include the tariff cost in their product listings now. That's a good thing. But here's the reality. Amazon constantly promotes products that are United States intellectual property ripoffs on their website. I mean, you go on Amazon and search for a product that's made in America, and the first dozen results are going to be cheap Chinese knockoffs. Cheap Chinese ripoffs of said product. Amazon doesn't care whether the products are made in the United States or not. Yeah, I saw this post from Sean Davis over at the Federalist, who was talking about this yesterday. He put this post out on his X account talking about SharkBite, which is a company that makes plumbing fittings here in America. He writes, this is Sean Davis, this is a perfect example right here. This product is a 100% ripoff of SharkBite from a fake Chinese company that simply doesn't exist. Amazon deliberately hides the country of origin on the product information page. Good luck trying to find out any information about this alleged manufacturer. It's cheaper than SharkBite because China didn't have to spend a dime developing the plans or the technology. They just stole all of the intellectual property from the original manufacturer. And I guarantee you this product is poorly made using crappy materials. It also wouldn't surprise me one bit if Chinese brass plum fittings are full of lead. But you'll never know because the CCP retail fronts like Amazon have no interest in disclosing this information to you. Bang on post there from Sean Davis. So if Amazon wants to put tariff stuff on their website, that's great. You know what's going to encourage me to do? Buy products from American companies. Because right now it's damn near impossible to figure that out. There's no way to know where this stuff is coming from. There's no way to know whether this is a legitimate product or not. The brand, HESUN, H-E-S-U-N, safe assumption that it's a Chinese company, but there's absolutely no way to know that. So I think this is great. And I'll be looking forward to that going online on Amazon so I can be more careful with what I'm buying and buy more products from American companies. So this is some attempt to, you know, own Trump. It's what the online conversation was, oh, this is going to be devastating to Trump. I don't know how it's going to be devastating to it. People are going to buy more products made in America. So him dealing with negotiations, him dealing with tariffs and shifting things around as information is available, as folks come to the negotiating table, it's exactly what I want from a president. And he had some additional comments on tariffs as well last night. This is Trump on tariffs.
All of the things that we've done into our policies, trillions of dollars are now pouring into the United States because of common sense, just common sense. Apple, great company, was building everything in China. Now they just announced that they're spending $500 billion to invest in America, not in China. My friend Jensen from NVIDIA, they're spending, you know what NVIDIA is? They're spending $500 billion. TSMC, the biggest chip maker in the world by far from Taiwan, they're spending $200 billion in the United States. Amazon, $21 billion. Johnson & Johnson, $55 billion. The Mac, $20 billion. Merck, Stellantis, General Motors are putting in billions and billions of dollars.
Trump talking about the increase in U.S. Production, U.S. manufacturing, with companies announcing that they're opening plants, making major investments here in the United States due to some of his tariff pressure and tariff policy. Whether you agree with it or not, that's been the goal. And it seems to at least be from that perspective, from the announcement perspective, working out in favor of President Trump. In the long term, is this something that's prosperous and fruitful for the United States of America? Remains to be seen. Now, there's still a great argument over do these manufacturing jobs make sense in the United States? Does the United States want to be a major manufacturing powerhouse? That answer has not yet been answered. So it remains to be seen. However, the president seems pretty clear that he's sticking with yet again another campaign promise about tariffs, holding countries accountable for taking advantage of the United States as it relates to the free trade market. He, again, another issue, just like immigration, he campaigned on it. He talked about it constantly at almost every campaign event, talked about how tariff is his favorite word. It's his favorite word in the dictionary. I mean, how is everybody so shocked and surprised that this stuff is going on? It doesn't make any sense to me. He literally ran an entire campaign on tariffs as well and holding countries like China accountable, like Mexico accountable when it comes to trade. So that was Trump in Michigan. He also did a sit down yesterday exclusively with ABC News. They were the ones that were lucky enough to get the interview of Trump's first 100 days in office. And as we just went over, the Media Research Center survey showing 92% negative coverage from the three big networks as it relates to the Trump administration. Well, the reporter who had the pleasure of interviewing President Trump, well, was combative with him the entire time. And of course, immigration. The media has never cared about immigration. The media ignored the problem of immigration under the previous president, under Joe Biden, when he allowed rampant migration into the United States of America. The media ignored that. They didn't care about it at all. But now that Trump is deporting these individuals, ICE is going throughout the United States and rounding up dangerous, hardened criminals that are illegally in the United States of America, now the media is shocked. Now the media is outraged. And the fact of the matter is they never cared about it at all. Here's an immigration discussion as it relates to this guy from Maryland, this MS-13 gang member that the Trump administration deported to El Salvador. ABC News will not let it go.
It's murderers, criminals in this country. We have to get them out, and we're doing it.
By law.
And you'll pick out one man, but even the man that you picked out, he said he wasn't a member of a gang. And then they looked, and right, on his knuckles, he had MS-13.
There's a dispute
over
that.
Wait a minute. He had MS-13 on his knuckles, tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Hey, Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was photoshopped.
Was photoshopped, Terry. You can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay. But you're not being very nice. He had MS-13 tattooed.
Right, we'll agree to disagree. I want to move on to something else.
Terry, do you want me to show you the picture?
I saw the picture.
You think it was Photoshop?
Well, Here we go.
Don't Photoshop it. Go look at his hand. He had MS-13.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. I'm not an expert on them.
He did have tattoos that can be interpreted that way. Now, the argument that's going on here by ABC News is that this guy has a marijuana leaf, a smiley face, a cross, and a skull tattooed on his knuckles. And the administration, when they arrested him, took a picture of that and translated what those symbols are, which were, in fact, MS-13, according to individuals within the federal government. I'm going to trust those individuals on what that means. I'm not an expert in gang-affiliated tattoos. If individuals that deal with gang violence, international groups that deal with international gang-affiliated groups and tattoos and signs and all these various things, if that's what they say it means, that's the only information I have to go up. Not some jackass from ABC News who wants to argue with Trump in the Oval Office.
I want to turn to Ukraine, sir.
I want to get
to Ukraine.
No. He had MS as clear as you can be, not interpreted. This is why no longer believe the news, because it's fake news.
When he was photographed in El Salvador, they aren't there. But let's just go. They aren't there when he's in El Salvador.
They weren't there, but they're there now, right?
No,
but they're
in your picture.
Terry.
Ukraine, sir.
He's got MS-13 on his knuckles.
All right.
Okay.
Right, well, we'll take a look.
You do such a disservice.
We'll take a look at
that. Why don't you just say yes, he does, and go on to something else?
Trump's right there. Now, of course, the media will point out, it didn't actually say MS-13; it was photoshopped. Okay, that's not what photoshopping is. The individuals within the administration that took the picture of this guy's knuckles translated what the symbols were on his hand. But this is the image that the media is freaking out about. It is obvious that the MS-13 was not added in Photoshop. It is a key as to what the symbols mean. But the media just won't let it go because they're infatuated with this story. They love talking about this story. Even though the El Salvadorian president has said, I'm not sending this guy back. I have no authority to do so. That's not going to happen at all. I have no basis to do that at all. Yet, I caught a very interesting story from the New York Post that came out last night. An individual who was associated with the guy who was deported by the United States claimed in a 2018 court paper that he was in fact a member of MS-13, saying, quote, she is dating a gang member, end quote, in the 2018 court documents. Ramos, who is currently incarcerated in Maryland, went on to claim that he feared for his children's lives. alleging that Saura had tried to kill herself and had left the kids with an 11-year-old babysitter, the August 2018 document stated. The petition, first obtained by Fox 45 News, does not identify the gang member by name, and a judge denied the emergency hearing the following month and later dismissed the petition in early 19 over a jurisdictional issue. So you've got a court document from an estranged ex-wife claiming, or the husband of an estranged ex-wife, who then went on to date the MS-13 gang member, quote, she is dating a gang member. But have no fear. This guy is not affiliated with MS-13 at all. I don't know why the media is so hung up on this. When you ask the vast majority of American people, they don't care. I mean, I know the media wants to make this big trick and pony show out of it, but the fact of the matter is, people really just don't care. The American people are over it. The guy was deported. He's gang affiliated. He's now in his home country of El Salvador. There is no legal process to move him back to the United States. But the media absolutely will not give it up. They continue to go back to it over and over and over again. They just will not stop with this whole situation as it relates to immigration. And here's another clip. This is about a 2-minute clip from last night's ABC News interview on immigration. The circle just keeps going around and around and around.
Move on to immigration. And as you said, it is an undeniable fact that illegal crossings at the southern border have plummeted, a staggering decline. But there are questions about your methods. And so I want to ask...
About my message?
Methods. About your methods. How you're accomplishing this.
Well, they seem to
this.
Work.
Do you acknowledge that under our law, every single person who gets deported gets a hearing first to make their case?
Well, are we talking about people that are citizens of our country or not?
No, you aren't deporting citizens at this point.
Well, let me ask you, did they get hearings when Biden allowed 21 million, because I think the number is 20 million people to flow into our country. You had 21 million people that came into our country through a stupid open border, and they were prisoners, and they were people that you don't want, in many cases, in our country, right? They came from all over the world. They came from the Congo. They right. came from South. They came from all over the world. We're talking about some of the roughest countries in the world. They had here, including terrorists, by the way. Now,
but the
did
law,
we give them a hearing when they came in?
Well, the law requires that every single person...
Yeah, I'm so sick of this crap from the media. The law says that every single person has to have this, that, or the other. When did the Democrats care about the laws as it relates to immigration? Since when did Democrats care about whether it was legal or not to come into the United States of America? This is why the media has absolutely zero trust with the American people. They're hypocrites. They don't care about laws being broken to illegally come into the country, but they're going to fawn over due process. The fact of the matter is very simple. The American people don't care. They are pissed off. They are frustrated with what the previous guy did as it relates to immigration, waving the green flag down at the U.S.-Mexico border to allow millions upon millions of people into the country illegally. They're frustrated with that. They're pissed off with that. Media had nothing to say as it relates to that at all. But now they want to fawn over this due process. Due process says, let me give you a heads up. Speaking for myself, I don't really care if due process is followed. These people are illegally in the United States of America, and they should be sent back. It's really that simple. I don't care. I'm over it. You don't care about the due process coming into the country legally. Well, why the hell should we care about due process getting them out? That's as simple as it is. They didn't follow the process to come in, then they don't need to follow the process to go out. Clean as day. And I'm over it. That's all there is to say. But it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Who is going to be deported gets a hearing first. Well, do you acknowledge that?
I'll have to ask the lawyers about that. All I can say is this. If you're going to have 21 million people, and if we have to get a lot of them out because they're criminals, we're going to have to act fast. We can't. Wait. Do you think we can give 21 million trials? Let's say each trial takes 2 weeks. Is that what you want us to
the
do?
Law
give 21
is the law,
million?
Sir. The law is the law,
no.
And you're
the
sworn
to uphold it. The law doesn't say anything about trials.
The law is the law, and you're sworn to uphold it. Where was that during Joe Biden's tenure? I don't remember ABC News questioning Joe Biden about the law being the law and you're sworn to uphold it. I don't remember that discussion coming forward at all. Huh, interesting.
No, not trials, hearings.
These people came in, they're not citizens. They came in illegally. They came into our country illegally. We have to get them out.
There's a legal process for that.
I can't, sure, and we follow the legal process. I can't have a trial, a major trial for every person that came in illegally. We have thousands of murderers that came in. They're going to murder people. They already have murdered people in our country.
Right. So
we have to get them out.
And
we have to get
guys,
them out fast.
Really bad guys. But in our country, even bad guys get due process, right?
If people come into our country illegally, there's a different standard. These are illegal. They came in illegally.
But they get due process.
Well, they get a process where we have to get them out.
I mean, it's just, it's insufferable. It is absolutely insufferable to watch the media twist themselves into the pretzel and try and justify their ridiculously unpopular immigration policies. Where was any of these questions of the previous guy when you had swarms of people coming illegally into the country? That's why I mentioned that and used the term hypocrite, because the media is a bunch of hypocrites. They don't care about due process. They've never cared about due process. They threw a whole bunch of people that were in Washington, D.C. January 6th of 2021, threw them in jail, no due process there. Many of them sitting in prison for 3+ years without a trial. So no due process for those individuals, American citizens. But now I'm supposed to have some huge hole in my heart for the due process for the Trende Aragua gang member who's raping and killing Americans that it's not being filed. You guys suck. You guys have no credibility, no trust with the American people. And guess what the polls show? 56% approve of Trump's deportations. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, ABC News. This idea that you're going to win over the American people on due process for gang-affiliated drug dealers, gangbangers, and dangerous criminals is such a weak attempt at trying to slam the president. So, as expected, ABC News got the interview, they botched it completely, and they are proving once again that they are incapable of reporting the facts, incapable of being an unbiased source of news. So that's 100 days in Trump's America. Hopefully you enjoyed some of our coverage this morning. Don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. Our Zoom chat happening tonight at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to seeing everybody there. And once again, thanks to the Law Group for their support here of the Nick Craig Show. We're back with you tomorrow morning live, 7 o'clock, YouTube, Rumble, and X. And of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great Wednesday.